And once again, we're talking about Agreeing to Disagree, the almost weekly podcast of the Salt Lake Tribune Editorial Board. I'm George Pyle. I'm the editor of the editorial page.
I'm Michelle Quist, editorial writer.
And there really is only one thing to talk about this week.
That's right.
I'm sorry, even if we wanted to talk about something else, it would be prohibited. We are talking about the decision by Senator Orrin Hatch to not seek an eighth term.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was young when Orrin Hatch was elected. You mentioned in your column something else.
I was one.
Yes, I was.
Well, I was one when he took office.
Yes, I was in college. I was in a special program in Washington, D.C. during the election of 1976 when Jimmy Carter was elected. And that's the same time that Orrin Hatch was elected, for those of you who don't even remember Jimmy Carter. So that's how long it's been. But anyway, the news of the week was that after 6 years ago saying that it would be his last term, winning re-election, partly, I would argue, on that promise, at least certainly the editorial board at that time of the Salt Lake Tribune was moved to endorse him, partly based on that promise.
Yes.
One more.
Yeah.
He had been making noises in recent weeks and months that he might indeed seek another term. Before that, he had been saying that he would step down. Then he was waffling a little bit. Then he was saying, well, I might step down if I thought Mitt Romney would replace me, which led to a little bit of a rebuke from us because Orrin seemed to be thinking that that Senate seat belonged to him and it was up to him
to choose an heir apparent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, now we're to the point where even though we said, Orrin, don't do that, don't handpick your replacement.
Yeah.
Worldwide speculation this week seems to be that that's exactly what's about to happen.
Right, that Romney's going to get in the race. Well, there isn't even a race yet. Nobody has. Well, no, actually, two people have filed for this seat, but they're, I don't want to say no names because they have names, but they're not well known in Utah.
No, certainly not well known outside of Salt Lake County.
Yeah.
Now, Jenny Wilson is the one that some of us have heard of because she is a member of the county council and has been in to see us and has been at this for a while. She may be facing the same thing that Kathy Allen faced when she said she was going to run against Jason Chaffetz. Jenny Wilson came out to run against Orrin Hatch, and now she's not running against Orrin Hatch anymore.
Right. And I meant two Republicans have entered. Yeah, two Republicans who I don't even recognize the name.
Well, I mean, there's Jenny Wilson, and there's one other on the Democratic side. And I pardon, I beg the gentleman's pardon. I even met him at one of our
receptions. See his face in my head.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
You just Google it. It'll pop up. So he's running as well.
Right.
And it's just the beginning. We've just entered the election year. I think the if you're going to seek to get on the ballot through petitions, the period for that just opened.
Yeah, it just opened. You have until March 15th to file for candidacy. And the reason why so many people are thinking that, you know, Mitt Romney kind of has it in the bag is because, well, one, he's Republican here in Utah and it's a statewide office. And two, this is so late in the game. I mean, Senator Hatch waited and waited and waited to not only announce the decision, but I think, like you said, to make the decision.
Yes.
You know, he kept kind of going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And in January, you know, you've got until April is the state conventions when they usually are, and June is the primary election. It's not a lot of time to raise money for a statewide election.
Right.
Romney could do it.
Right. And that's why we were saying, the editorial board was saying weeks, months ago, that Senator Hatch really ought to say, yes, I am, or no, I'm not.
Yeah.
We preferred that he'd say, no, I'm not. But to leave people hanging that way really just isn't fair to the rest of the state, isn't fair to the electorate, isn't fair to now maybe a second generation of Utah politicians who would have been perfectly credible candidates.
Right.
But didn't dare or saw no percentage in challenging Orrin Hatch if he was going to run again.
Right. Because with Romney, you have an older gentleman who doesn't bring much diversity to our federal delegation. He's a good politician, and he will represent Utah in a way that doesn't embarrass us like some of the things Senator Hatch has done with, you know, kowtowing to President Trump. But, you know, he's 70 years old. He won't be a long-term senator. He won't. And in fact, some people even believe he's maybe doing it as a jumping point to run for president one more time.
Right.
And that would be midterm.
Yes. And that, well, that's kind of, that's what Barack Obama did. So from a much less position of notoriety, except for one convention speech that caught at least the Democratic part of the country on fire. But not to compare Mitt Romney in any personal character way to Richard Nixon, but Richard Nixon ran for president, got the nomination of the party, ran a respectable campaign, and lost.
Right.
You know, that's kind of like, okay, that's you run for president, you lose, that's it, you're out. Came back a couple of years later, ran for governor of California, lost. Had the historic news conference in which he said to the press, whom he hated, and it was mutual, you won't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's two career-ending losses.
Uh-huh.
Comes back, 1968, the world is turned upside down. The sitting president is extremely unpopular, decides not to run again, and actually gets elected.
Right.
Okay, now, bad things happened after that, but just only extending the analogy to 1968, you've got Mitt Romney. He ran a campaign, a credible campaign, did well in the race, didn't win, but was respectable in the whole process. Okay. That's what he's run, he's lost, he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and now people are starting to think, well, you know, and anytime there's an election, you know, there's always some remorse. I mean, maybe I should have voted for the other guy.
Right.
Now people might have a chance.
Right. Well, and so much of the election is name recognition.
Right.
And people start to feel not kind of sorry for you that you keep losing and, you know, want to give you a win, but they kind of feel like there's an order of succession or a line, you know, it's his turn or it's her turn now. I mean, we have Attorney General Reyes here in Utah. He ran for Attorney General at least one time before. And then when the office was vacant again, the members of the Republican State Central Committee kind of thought that it was his turn because he had run before and lost to
Well, I think, they also maybe felt some remorse for having elected John Swallow and said, we should have picked the other guy then. Let's pick him now.
Oh, I guess he was right. Swallow wasn't a good choice.
Wasn't a good choice. Okay, we'll give him the choice now. Mitt Romney, name recognition, money, can fund his own campaign, doesn't have to go around the state introducing himself to people, can easily survive a late start. The late start that everybody has because we were waiting for Senator Hatch to make up his mind.
Right. So the thing that everybody's kind of discussing or talking about that seems to be a little unfair is the idea that the Republican nominee has it in the bag. You know, that Jenny Wilson, who's been who will likely be the Democratic candidate, who's been campaigning for, you know, a few months now and who's a very competent and would be a good choice, that she's not mentioned as much as as the winner as who will win. What do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's hard to bet against Mitt Romney, assuming he does win. Now, we were being told by the great mentioners that he was definitely going to run. We were told that he might announce as soon as this week. We're talking Thursday afternoon, the 4th, and he would maybe announce as soon as today or Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the latest I've heard is it might be another couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
you know, let a decent interval intervene.
Mm-hmm.
But as we're looking at this, and you look at Pat Bagley's cartoon in the Friday Tribune, you know, you kind of wonder, Mitt Romney's been around, he's done his public service, he's been governor, he's run for president, he's been in private business. Maybe he doesn't want the aggravation.
Yeah. It's kind of the well-known question, why would you run for president? You have to be some kind of a narcissist or, you know, something like that to run.
Right. And I think what he has to be asking himself, in addition to the normal questions of, do I want to put myself through this? Do I want to put my family through this? Do I want to make a commitment for 6 years? Is it a stepping stone to run for the presidency once again? He needs to be thinking about that, whether he's going to tell us. I mean, he's not going to come out and say, I'm running for the U.S. Senate. Oh, and by the way, I'm running for president in 2 years.
Right.
So don't get too used to me.
Right.
He's not going to say that, even if that's what he's thinking.
Right.
But what he has to be thinking is, okay, am I going to be the other Republican Party, the never Trump Republican Party? He has sort of gone back and forth on that, although he mostly, I think, would be, if he wanted to be, he certainly has the independence to be, should he choose, to be the never Trump leader of the Senate.
Right.
Is that what he wants to do? Does he think that's disloyal to his party? I mean, certainly before Donald Trump even got the nomination, Mitt Romney practically coined the term Never Trump by making the speech right up at the Hill here at the University of Utah, called him a fraud and you know, nothing kind, and it would be a horrible thing for the country and for the Republican Party if he were to be nominated or elected. Then Trump was elected. They dangled Secretary of State in front of Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney, like a good American, good Republican, the president calls, president-elect calls, you go talk to him.
Right.
In retrospect, the pictures that came out and everything, it almost looked like Trump was just deliberately toying with him to humiliate him for the things that he'd said and done before.
Well, and the problem is he could, I think he would want to be leader of that Never Trump Party, but when it comes down to the legislation coming through Congress, he probably would have voted much the same way Senator Hatch voted, who was in the pro Trump camp, you know.
Right. It almost,
I mean,
does,
tax reform. He would.
Yeah.
Have
no,
voted,
I'm
yes.
sure. He Mitt Romney would have voted for this tax bill, or if he didn't like it, he might have had the poll to tweak it a little bit and make it more the way he liked it. Other things. Now, we're not, a couple of the things that we were annoyed about at Senator Hatch about was particularly the DREAM Act, which Senator Hatch was an early proponent of and seems to have dropped.
Yeah.
Senator Hatch, along with his old friend Ted Kennedy, created the Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIP. It's expired. Hatch makes noises about bringing it back, but doesn't seem to have been able to do that. You know, I don't know what Mitt Romney thinks about those things. During the presidential campaign, he made some cracks about making life difficult for illegal aliens so they would self-deport. I don't know if he wants to stand by that. There was an interesting piece in the New York Times, Ross Douthat, I think is how you pronounce it, who's one of the Times conservatives, wrote a very interesting piece about, you know, Mitt is certainly smart enough, experienced enough. He seems moral and upstanding. But Mitt is going to have to face the fact that the Republican Party inadvertently created Donald Trump through such things as the 47%, corporations are people, giving Mitt Romney personally and the Republican Party under his standard, the idea that they were for Wall Street, for the corporate, for the wealthy, not for the working man, not for the out-of-work steel workers in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan, who wound up voting for Donald Trump, both in the primary and in the general election.
Yeah, and I think Romney could bridge that gap by talking the way Trump did, you know, by being real and authentic and, well, a real man's authentic, not a Romney authentic, because he lives a life that most of us don't live.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, Franklin Roosevelt was rich as Croesus, and he's still related to the working man.
Yeah.
John Kennedy was wealthy.
Yeah.
Bobby Kennedy was wealthy. They found a way to relate to the working class. If Mitt Romney or someone like him makes the determination that that's important, and we need not just talk to them, we need to listen to them and do it somewhat genuinely and be seen as doing it, they could do a lot of good for the country, for the Republican Party, and find a way to reach out to the people who feel like the world has passed them by, and in many ways has passed them by, and make the Republican Party something that listens to that part of the country. The people who voted for Obama twice and then for Trump.
Right.
Because they felt like the moneyed elite of the country runs Washington, doesn't listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to speak for us? And even people who found Donald Trump's personal life odious were voting for him on that basis.
And honestly, Romney even being from Utah as opposed to Massachusetts helps that outlook toward him, you know, helps him become more of a real man of the man character than a high bred, well,
right, not
educated.
Not the eastern elite. I mean, he's originally from Michigan. I mean, his father was governor of Michigan, so industrial Rust Belt. You know, he could harken back to that heritage if he chose to.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Massachusetts, he passed health care reform that is basically Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically the individual mandate, the expanding, give tax breaks to people. Everybody into the pool. Everybody's covered. Everybody pays to the extent they can.
Yeah.
He could perhaps sell that as it's not Obamacare. I'll fix it. I'll make it better. But I won't leave you out.
I think he chooses to run. I think he'll choose to run out of a sense of urgency for the country and perhaps even the party, but country first. Because I think he sees that Senator Hatch announcing so late in the game has created kind of a vacuum. And, you know, we could get, if Romney doesn't go in, or if he does, we could get 12 to 15 far right or left or just crazy candidates that don't represent Utah and wouldn't bring to the institution of the Senate what Romney knows he could bring to it.
Right. And there are members of the Senate who have been saying, yes, please, we would welcome you here.
Yeah.
I mean, part of the thing is, would you prefer, because of the ways of the Senate, as we understand them way out here, is that they value seniority.
Right.
And they value having been there for a long time. And would somebody who's accomplished all that Mitt Romney has accomplished want to be the junior senator from a small, far western state when he came that close to being president?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these rules are kind of out the window.
Yeah,
now.
I think he would be treated differently. I mean, of course, Senator Lee would be technically the senior senator from Utah, I think Senator Romney would, have a good committee assignment, and I think people would look to him to lead.
Right. And, I mean, the Senate is small enough, and speaking on the floor is important enough that it isn't just committee chairmanships. Those are important, but that's not all that is important.
Right.
And if other members of the Senate, if the leadership of the Senate thought, we would rather have this guy be our face, not Donald Trump, not even Ted Cruz or some of those other people. We would like Mitt Romney to be the guy on TV every night who says, this is what Republicans are all about. This is what the Republicans in the Senate and in Congress want to do.
Mm-hmm.
We want this guy up there speaking for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to necessarily go down with Donald Trump. Then that becomes an interesting sort of way to read what they think of Donald Trump,
right,
both in terms of whether they like him or not, and in terms of what they think he does to their electoral prospects.
Well, and it could cause a rift here in Utah with so many of our legislators, especially, the Speaker of the House, who is very pro-Trump and has been an ally from the very beginning. You know, how would that shake out if you've got the senator who's very anti-Trump and a state leadership who's pro-Trump? It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, and there, in that sense, Utah would be kind of a microcosm of the whole country, because I think a lot of Republicans all across the country are thinking, what have we done, and who have we put at our leadership, and you know, was it worth it just to get a tax cut?
Mm-hmm. And a Supreme Court justice.
And a Supreme Court justice. And is that really what we want to be known for? Well, mm-hmm. then you have, I mean, it was Orrin Hatch was our Utahn of the year. Senator Flake in Arizona was the Arizonan of the year in the Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Corker in Tennessee was the Tennessean of the year in the Nashville Tennessean.
Yeah.
So, you know, people who in those cases, it was people who were standing up to the president who got the honor. But they're both leaving. They're not running again.
Right. So, we're agreeing on a lot today. What can we disagree on?
Well, I don't know that we even disagree so much because we don't know what's going to happen, and
yeah.
we're looking forward, and we're kind of feeling around in the dark.
Yeah.
I mean, I might just for the sake of argument say that, you know, the thing that has bothered me as long as I've been in this business is kind of this self-fulfilling prophecy that the press will often fall into, and because we want to be the first to tell you what's going to happen,
right?
And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy by saying, well, a Democrat can't possibly win, or Mitt's got it wrapped up if he wants it. No, there's still petitions, there's still caucuses and mm-hmm. conventions, mm-hmm. there's still, you know, bad news that could come out about anybody involved in this process.
Right.
You know, another secret tape of Mitt speaking to rich people might dribble out, although you think he'd be smart enough not to do that again.
Right.
So, you know, the idea that, oh, no, Utah can't possibly be in play. It's a Republican state. Well, that's mm-hmm. what they said about Alabama, too. Mm-hmm.
Was Jan Graham the last Democrat to win a statewide race?
I think so, yeah, because, I mean, she was certainly more recent than, because, you know, Frank Moss, Hatch defeated by saying, what do you call a person who served for 18 years, a senator who served for 18 years, you call him home.
Right.
And, I mean, that's been on the tongue of political reporters across the country now, as we were looking at Orrin Hatch.
Because he doubled that.
Because he doubled that.
And plus one.
Yeah, and I guess it's a matter of, well, you know, if you get over a certain amount, then that doesn't count anymore.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, I know senators forever have come in there, senators and congressmen have come into office forever saying, I'm not a career politician.
Right.
I'm not going to stay there forever. That's bad for people. And then once they get there, to themselves, it's like, hey, I kind of like this.
Yeah. I'm only 70.
Right.
I don't want to retire yet.
And to us, it's, I have a lot of clout. I have a lot of influence. You certainly wouldn't want to give that up by replacing me with some rookie,
right?
Which, you know, then becomes Mitt Romney's argument, I'm not a rookie.
Mm-hmm,
And then other people who would normally be the bench for a U.S. Senate seat, the Speaker of the House or other members of the legislature, the Lieutenant Governor, the Attorney General, people like that, are the kinds of people who normally run for the U.S. Senate.
Right.
You know, they've all been frozen out, first by Orrin Hatch and now maybe by Mitt Romney.
Yeah, because he would be someone hard to say, okay, I'm going in on this. Here we go. I mean, Romney, I saw a lot of tweets that said the only person who could beat Romney would be Dieter Uchtdorf, who's, you know, in the presidency of the church.
Yeah.
The Mormon church.
Right. Or, yeah, maybe once upon a time, maybe Urban Meyer, but not anymore. It does. I mean, it's almost the same argument, though. I mean, hey, what about the normal people?
Yeah.
Don't any of them who have done the work and licked the envelopes and walked the precincts and stuff, don't any of them have a chance?
I think it'd be smart, though, to do it, especially if you only have two or three that are going in against Romney, because like we were saying before, people want to see names and you need recognition. So if you've lost one or two times, I mean, especially if you go against Romney and Romney drops out in the middle of the term because he's elected president or something.
Right.
Oh, wait, who? I just ran against Romney, so now it's my turn kind of a thing. And there's not a lot of downside if you realize, you know, you're going up against Romney, you're not really going to win, you don't really have to fundraise a ton because you know you're not going to win, but your name is getting out there. You've got this free publicity, and I don't know, I think it might be a good idea for someone who's thinking down the road.
Yeah. No, and it would be interesting to see who else, if maybe some names we haven't seen yet, do that, because there will, I mean, maybe Romney would refuse to debate, but there'd probably be debates. You'd be standing up there next to Mitt Romney,
right,
more or less equal on the stage.
Right.
You'd get your name out there.
That's right.
And, you know, you acquit yourself relatively well. Mm-hmm. It's no shame losing to Mitt Romney because mm-hmm. he's so rich and
right.
and well-known.
Everyone expects it, but, oh, she did pretty good.
And
or,
then,
you know,
exactly,
whatever.
Because yeah. he might run for president, he might get elected president, and then the seat would be vacant again,
yeah.
and it would be time for somebody else to stand up and say, hey, remember me, I'm the one who was here, I'm not some Johnny-come-lately, I was
right.
here before.
Right, and with a Senate seat, a midterm election happens within the same party of that the person who holds the seat.
Right.
It's not a general election, mm-hmm. unless the legislature changes it this
Yes, and you can never tell with the legislature.
No, I know.
So I think that we have maybe talked this one to death, but, I mean, we're still waiting for Mitt.
Yeah.
We're still waiting for the other shoe to drop and see what happens. It's only January. The election isn't till November.
Yeah. It's what I wrote about on my Thursday column this week.
Yes. And so, check that out on sltrib.com. I'm wondering about maybe writing some more about this same thing, or maybe people are tired of this. So one thing I'm looking at is the fact that the one day Governor Herbert says he very much expects medical marijuana to be
yes,
passed on the ballot
right.
in Utah. And the very next day, the Attorney General of the United right. States says, nope, no more of this. We're going to enforce federal marijuana laws all across the country.
That's right.
And according to one tweet I read, making sure that nobody in California, Colorado, Maine ever gets elected
Oregon?
As a Republican again. Oregon ever gets elected as a Republican again.
Right.
I mean,
right.
If the Democrats are smart, they will grab this issue and run with it.
Right.
So that's the agreeing and the not so much disagreeing this week. Come back next week or whenever we get around to it, and we'll talk some more. Thanks very much.